because we've had technical difficulties. But nonetheless, all the content will be in this for you to just enjoy and continue your studies. Last time we met in session three, we were looking at that whole issue of crossing over. We were looking at the memorial stones from chapter four as well. And I did pose a few homework questions. And if you've done them, brilliant. If you haven't, no worries. But the homework questions from session three were this. Number one, what is the significance of the 12 stones plucked from the Jordan River? Number two, why do you think God made the crossing of the Jordan so grand? Number three, maybe a question for yourself here. Do you prepare yourself to meet God in worship? Number four, how has God recently displayed his power in your life? Number five, where do you notice the wonder of God the most? And number six, when do you see his hand at work? Now, on Tuesday night, just gone, we talked through these questions. We had wonderful feedback from those who joined in on the Zoom conversation on all of this. But what we're going to do today is we are carrying on, and we are particularly focusing on Joshua chapter 5. Little quiz for you. Number one, how did the Amorite and Canaanite kings react when they heard that the Israelites had crossed the Jordan? Did they say, wonderful news, welcome? Or had they lost heart and were they paralyzed with fear? Number two, true or false, circumcision played a huge and important role for the Hebrews. Number three, circumcision was important to Israel because A, of health reasons, or B, it was a covenant agreement between God and Abraham. Number four, now I might not be able to pronounce this correctly, forgive me. Number four, Gibeath Haraloth means... Gibeath Haraloth means hill of sheep, hill of foreskins, hill of wine, hill of fruit, or hill of knowledge. What do you think? Number five, true or false. Under Moses' leadership in the wilderness, the second generation had not been circumcised. And number six, Gilgal means to roll down, roll away, bread roll, or roll around. What do you think? Let's just go through the answers really quickly. Number one, the answer is that they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear. Number two, it's true, circumcision did play a huge and important role for the Hebrews. Number three, circumcision was important to Israel because it was a covenant agreement between God and Abraham. Number four, Gibeath Haraloth means hill of foreskins. Number five, under Moses' leadership in the wilderness, the second generation had not been circumcised. That is true. And number six, Gilgal means to roll away. Before we carry on with our discussions, let's read through Joshua 5, shall we? And we're going to read from verse 5 as well. Told Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the second generation of Israelites. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the entire male population of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised, but none of those born after the Exodus during the years in the wilderness had been circumcised. The Israelites had traveled in the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died. For they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord vowed he would not let them enter the land he had sworn to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So Joshua circumcised their sons, those who had grown up to take their father's places, for they had not been circumcised on the way to the promised land. After all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that place has been called Gilgal to this day." While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. About to make his men vulnerable by staying in one place. Surely they've crossed the River Jordan. God has performed this amazing miracle, and the next stop is Jericho. Yet Joshua decides to stop. He doesn't decide to take Jericho straight away. He decides to stop. Why is this? Why? Well, there's a few reasons to this that I just want to talk through with you. Number one, to reestablish the covenant. To reestablish the covenant. Joshua thought and knew it was important that Israel reestablish some old habits. You know, with habits, we have good habits and we have bad habits. Sometimes we need to get rid of our bad habits, of course, and reestablish the good ones. Maybe there are practices in our lives that were brilliant, that really helped us, that we applied to our lives that have long been forgotten. Maybe we need to bring those back again. And Joshua, he decided that before taking Jericho, it was time to reestablish some practices. So number one, he reestablished the covenant. What is the covenant? What was the covenant that Joshua reestablished? Well, you can read all about it in Genesis 17, verse 10 through to 14. So that's Genesis 17, verse 10 through to 14. And we're just going to read it now. It says this: "This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant." So this was the covenant between Abraham and God. And Joshua deems it important that this is reestablished, that this practice is reestablished with the second generation of Israelites. You see, reestablishing the covenant, it was a sign of identity. God wanted the Hebrews to have a distinguishing mark, something that would make them different. It was a physical act wrought with spiritual meaning. It marked their identity as the people of God. The first generation of Israel had been circumcised, but they had not listened to the voice of God. They had disobeyed God. And one writer puts it like this: "You can have all the marks of the people of God, but lack the response of the people of God. You can receive the sacrament, but have no faith." Paul the Apostle is right. You can experience the Exodus, eat the manna, drink from the water from the rock, and remain in unbelief. You may hold membership among God's flock, but have no relationship with the shepherd. You may live in the king's country, but reject his sovereignty. How true that is of many people in the church today. And so Joshua wanted to do things right. He wanted to make things right. You see, by going through the process of circumcision, it showed that it was an act of faith in the covenant promises of God. This would be the generation that would take hold of what God had got for them. Circumcision was an act of obedience. It was an outward sign of inward obedience. It was a physical act that marked their identity as the people of God. It was a sign of holiness. Did you know this? God calls his people to holiness today. A holy person is not an odd person, but a holy person is a distinct person. A holy person has a quality about their life that is separate. Their present lifestyle is not only different from their past lifestyle, but it is different from the lifestyles of the believers around them. Holy people represent the likeness of Jesus Christ to a watching world. And we have been commanded to live a holy life. We have been called a royal priesthood, a holy nation. As believers, we have been commanded to live a holy life, energetic and blazing with holiness. Holiness means to be different. It's not an option. It's mandatory. It's what marks us as God followers. And maybe, just maybe, in the church at large today, in Western Christianity, we need to get back to holiness, to understand what holiness is, and that we serve a holy, holy God. You know what? You can't come into the presence of a holy God being unholy. I think it's Psalm 24 and other psalms that says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Those with clean clean hands and holy hearts. The other thing that we learn from this time of stopping, this time of between Jordan and Jericho, is that Joshua, off the back of the circumcision, he wanted the men to rest, recover, and stop. You see, circumcision, that's very, very painful. Very, very painful. The process, the operation, the cutting away with flint knives is painful. It tends to happen in Jewish culture to a boy who's 8 days old. This is when his immune system is strongest. He is most likely to recover very quickly. But Joshua decided to circumcise the whole male population of Israel. We are talking about adults. We are talking about men. It's making me wince as we think about this. The healing time for circumcision, if all goes to plan, is 2 to 3 weeks. And so during this time, it gave time for Joshua and the army. Yes, they might have been vulnerable, you might say. They might have been vulnerable to the people of Jericho, who could have come out and attacked them. But actually, Joshua surrenders to God. He says, listen, we are going to do this. We're going to prepare well. We're going to rest. We're going to recover. We're going to stop. We're going to heal. You see, when God does something in our lives, you know, if we want to become closer to him, if we want to become holy, and the kind of believer that he wants us to be, then sometimes that means we have to cut things out of our lives, things that are painful, things that need us just to stop for a moment and reflect and think and put our thoughts towards God. And in verse 8, we learn that the men of Israel had to rest, recover, and stop. God wants to do a work in us that sometimes requires pain. It means that we need to go through a time of recovery so he can get us to where he wants us to be. The third thing I learn about this whole time, and again off the back of the circumcision, is this. Verse 9. The act of obedience to God, the act of once again separating themselves to God, the act of putting their faith in God, meant that God was pleased with the whole nation. And he declares this over the whole nation as a result of Joshua reestablishing the covenant as a result of Joshua circumcising the male population and obeying the law of God, he says this to Israel: today I have rolled away your shame of your slavery. I have rolled away your shame of your slavery. Did you know this, everybody? We do not have to live our lives full of guilt and shame when we come to Jesus Christ. He takes our guilt, he takes our shame, and he rolls it away. The past is forgotten. Too many of us live with the guilt and shame of our past, the guilt and shame of our past actions, our past thoughts, our past deeds. Sometimes we, as the second generation or the third generation, carry the guilt and shame of the generations before us, and God wants you to know that it can be rolled away. Jesus says in the New Testament, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. He wants you to roll it onto him, roll it away. And similarly, for the Israelites, they needed to know that their shame and their guilt had been rolled away. Some versions use the word reproach. Reproach meant guilt or shame. And in Hebrew, the word is also translated as condition. God wants you to roll away your condition. It's time to roll away your condition. Whatever you're going through, roll it away. Give it to him. Be free of that. The people of Israel, you see, had entered into the promised land with a condition of humiliation and slavery of Egypt still attached to them. They had entered into the promised land with 40 years of hurt, guilt, and shame. Although they had left Egypt, Egypt was still with them. Egypt was still in them. The pain of the past remained in their present. They were a people delivered out of slavery, but the slavery had not been delivered out of them. They felt unworthy. They felt inferior. But God says, today, 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 I have rolled away your reproach. We cannot allow reproach to find a place in our hearts and in our spirits. It will influence the way we live, and it will hold us back from fulfilling the purposes of God. But at Gilgal, God brought about not just physical healing to the men, but he brought about emotional healing, psychological healing, spiritual healing to the soul and the spirit, not just the body. Today, your shame and your guilt has been rolled away. I think there's some important messages there for us all. And then we get to verse 10 of Joshua chapter 5. And we read that Joshua, he's reestablished circumcision. He's now reestablished Passover. Why? Well, with circumcision accomplished, the people were spiritually ready and qualified to observe the Passover. It is also significant that they crossed just in time to observe it on the 14th day of the month. This is only the third Passover the people had kept. The first was in Egypt. The second was at Mount Sinai just before they broke camp. And the third was here at Gilgal. They had only celebrated Passover three times. By partaking of the Passover, they were to relive their deliverance out of Egypt by the blood of the lambs sprinkled on the doorposts and on the lintel of their houses in Egypt. As the lambs were slain, they were assured that as the Red Sea crossing was followed by the destruction of the Egyptians, so the crossing of the Jordan would be followed by the defeat of the Canaanites. So remembering the past was an excellent preparation for the tests of the future. The Passover not only reminded them of their deliverance and redemption out of Egypt, but it looked forward to other victories, to the defeat of the Canaanites, but also to a victory accomplished in Jerusalem on Calvary. It naturally pointed to the cross where Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. Passover was re-established. And then we get to verses 11 through to 12. These verses, I believe, are also significant. They talk about God's provision. What we read is this, is that it was at Passover, at this time, that God stopped providing manna for the children of Israel to eat. If you remember, for the whole of the 40-year wilderness wandering, God had provided manna. He had provided quail. Manna is that bread from heaven, isn't it? It was that sustenance that they needed for every single day. It came from heaven. It was there, and all the people had to do was to gather it up and distribute it amongst their families to eat. But now they'd walked into the promises of God. They'd walked into the promises of God, into the promised land, and now they had to provide for themselves. A new age had begun. Israel is not eating the produce of the land of Canaan. They enjoy what God has promised them. They enjoy what God has given them. They did not need to eat the manna now. Interesting question I just want to pose. Did that mean that God had stopped providing for them? Is there a point where God stops his provision? Interesting question. Does God stop providing for us? I think the answer's no, isn't it? The answer's no. God is the provider. He's our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, God that provides. Okay? But what we need to understand is this. The manna was God's supply for an exceptional need. God's provision is still there. It just came through ordinary means. It is still God's provision. God is not just in the extraordinary, the earthquake, the wind and the fire, but he's also in the ordinary. Safety when we travel, the health of our children, picking up the pay packet, food. That is all in an ordinary day's work for our God. I tell you what, in this time of lockdown, I am grateful and thankful to God for his daily provision for myself, for my wife, for my family. I thank God for a roof over our heads. I thank God for food on the table. I thank God for the pay that comes in from the jobs that we do. I thank God for the health of my children during this time and at all times. I thank God for his provision. It's the ordinary provision, and we need to wake up. We need to see God in it all. God is our provider, not just in the exceptional circumstances, the extraordinary circumstances, but in the day-to-day ordinary as well. And so, in summary, that is effectively what we talked about in our last growth track. Obviously, we went into discussion. We had good debate. We had some good thoughts and some good contributions from everybody. I finished off the growth track, session 4, with some more homework questions for everybody. Here they go. Number 1, why do we need to lead distinct and different lives from the world around us? Number 2, what does holiness mean to you? Number 3, what needs to be rolled away in your life? Number 4, how have you seen God work in the ordinary ways in your life? Number 5, how have you seen God work in the extraordinary ways in your life? Number 6, read through Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through to 15. What do you learn? Number 7, read through Joshua chapter 6. What lessons did you learn? What questions do you have? I hope you've got something from this. God bless you, and we will see you for session 5, Joshua Conquering Generations.